Hi, welcome to my podcast, Absolute Parenting, The Shit No One Tells You. Episode 20, from being pregnant to being a new mom in the global pandemic and heading back to work. And don't forget, if you like what you're hearing, then please subscribe or follow me on social media so you can share it with anyone that you think may find it helpful. You will find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle at Absolute Parenting. In the last episode, I have invited my friend Katie to talk about her experience of being a new mum during the UK national lockdown. But in this episode, I have invited another friend of mine, Mango, not her real name by the way, just a nickname we have for her, to talk about her experience of being heavily pregnant when COVID-19 was sweeping towards Europe very quickly back in February 2020 and then giving birth to her baby on the first day of the UK national lockdown, which was 24th of March 2020. What a day to remember, hey? I know during the pandemic, many women are of course still falling pregnant and babies are still being born. But for me, I just cannot even imagine how uncertain it must have been for my friend like Mango, who obviously had a fairly ordinary pregnancy right up until the end. And, you know, she was looking forward to her maternity leave. Then suddenly a global pandemic hit and it literally changed everything you have ever planned or imagined. It is totally crazy to think now it is over a year later, and you know what, 1 year later we are still in it, and her baby is now 1 year old and Mango is back to work. I have only met her baby once, I think, when she was about 4 months old. I mean, in a normal circumstances, you know, I would have met up with Mango like loads of time during her maternity leave, you know, for a catch up, see how she's doing, but none of that happened. So anyway, I have invited Mango to come along on the show to talk about her experience of being pregnant as the pandemic was sweeping across the globe and what it has been like for her to be a new mum during the pandemic. Of course, now she just started back at work. How has she managed childcare? Because, you know, many childcare providers operate in such a different way now because of the pandemic. All these things that I never had to think about or, you know, even take into consideration when I had my two daughters. I always say, I think being parents is a tough enough job in normal circumstances. And the pandemic just adds a whole new layer of complication on top. But anyway, without further ado, let me introduce you to my friend Mango. Hello, Mango. Thank you for joining me today and sharing your experience of being a pandemic mum. So, how are you doing? So, what is it like for you?
Hi, Sue. How is it now or how has it been?
Well, actually, you know what?
It's been quite a roller coaster the whole year.
You know what? Let's go from the beginning. You're right. That is such a broad question. So let's go from the beginning. So because obviously you literally gave birth to your little girl, like what, on the first day of the UK lockdown. So that was March 2020.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but Boris basically made his speech on a Monday. Was like, guys, we're going to lockdown like now. And then she was born on Tuesday morning. So oh, God. It was like literally first day, like first morning of the pandemic, was me and my husband walking to the hospital. So it turned out we found out she was breech a couple of weeks earlier, which was a whole saga of itself. So yeah, I was booked in for a C-section. So in a way, like, I'm kind of congratulating my husband and I, because I just think that we completely nailed it on the timing, because it was just that window where everything was getting really serious really quickly, but it wasn't at the stage where everyone was in sort of full-blown panic yet.
Yeah.
So they hadn't put in like a lot of the restrictions around like birth partners and stuff. Because I mean, I had a couple of mates that gave birth, you know, later than that, when it was like proper lockdown. And,
yeah.
You know, you hear like horror stories, like the birth partners weren't allowed on the ward and all of that stuff. So, yeah, I just think we got it exactly right. It was like day one. And I mean, I guess it was you know, as normal as it could be. You know, obviously there was distancing and we had to be, you know, kept very apart from other patients. And,
yeah.
But, you know, thankfully, I just think I'm so lucky that, you know, my husband was able to come in with me and be there for the birth and everything. So, yeah, it was just that sort of slightly surreal time when, you know, it was the first lockdown. No one knew what was going to happen. It was just really uncertain. Yeah, it's a really kind of strange time to think about from, like, sitting here now, thinking about, you know, thinking. And at the time, if you remember, it was very much like, oh, we'll do lockdown for, like, a month or something.
Oh, God, yeah.
A matter of a week.
Yeah.
And then it'll all be back to normal. Now, like, it's so surreal. So my daughter's just turned one.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here a year later and we're all still in lockdown. It's just, yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing to sort of remember what we were thinking back then.
I mean, what was it like though for, like, being obviously heavily pregnant and you just obviously keep seeing the news, you know, the pandemic's like sweeping across, it's like, you know, it's coming over. How did that feel?
Yeah, exactly. So I was probably, so I think it was basically March when everything was suddenly like, okay, this is shit scary and it's real and it's coming. So I think, because it's kind of hard sitting here now to sort of take myself back, because it was just another world, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, it was, I basically took off the last few weeks of my pregnancy from work. I started my mat leave like a few weeks early.
Okay.
Because I had this great vision that I was going to be really like relaxed and I would just meet all my mates for like lunch and brunch and, you know, I'd meet a different friend every day. And I'd do like my little nesting bits at home and it would be this like wonderful time. But actually, in reality, it was that time when like people were just starting to get a bit nervous about coming out. So I remember like I'd book to meet like friends for lunch and, you know, you'd give them a call and be like, are you still okay to come and eat out in a restaurant? And then they'd be like, are you still okay to come out and eat in a restaurant? You know, no one really knew like how yeah. serious it was and whether you were gonna, you know, whether it was a good idea or not to meet. So it was just that quite kind of uncertain time. And then I found myself just, you know, obviously you have the normal kind of anxiety about being a first time mum and all of that stuff, but it was all just kind of heightened with like this extra layer of like worry.
It's an extra complication.
And it was just, I think it was because it was like worries that you about stuff that you really didn't expect yourself to be worrying about, like in, especially like in the UK, for example. So instead of thinking about, you know, whatever it is about my daughter, instead I'm worrying about, am I literally going to be able to buy nappies for my child? Like, do we really live in the UK? It's like, do you know what I mean? It's just questions that you didn't expect to be worrying about.
You know,
but
what?
Suddenly, it was just that time when all the panic buying was starting.
You're so right. I didn't even think about nappies. And, like, I remember people were stockpiling nappies, formulas, like baby wipes and Cowpole.
Exactly. But, like, the baby aisle was empty. So, like, literally, I sent my husband out and, I'm ashamed to say, but I was like, just buy, like, 3 packs of nappies. Like, I don't care. We need them.
But you know what? Three packs.
We didn't stockpile toilet paper, we stockpiled nappies.
But you know what, though? That 3 packs of nappy will not last you very long for a newborn baby. They go through them like 10 a day.
So true. So true. More than that, even at the beginning.
Oh, God. You know what?
So, yeah, it was just worrying about stuff that you just thought, okay, like modern day, I shouldn't be worrying about this. But like you were. So it was just like an extra layer on top of everything else.
God, you know what? Now you said it, you're so right. I completely forgot about the panic buying and it was ridiculous. And yes, the baby aisle were empty. I mean, obviously my two girls, you know, one don't need nappies, but the other one, yeah, you know, she still uses nappies. And yeah, I actually remember thinking, shit, can I buy her nappies? You're so right.
Yeah,
I forgot.
I mean, a lot of stuff, obviously, you can just get off Amazon and it can be with you the next day. So we weren't like super panicked, but I just remember going to like just there was all the rumors that all the shops were going to close abruptly. So I remember I basically just went to M&S and bought like extra packs. You know, they do the multi-packs of like the baby vests, like the bodysuits.
Yeah.
So I was just literally bought like an extra like three packs of those in, because obviously then you don't know how big your baby's going to be. So I got like the newborn size, the 0 to 1 month. I just bought a couple of extra packs of stuff like that, just because actually you just you know, the stuff that you need immediately, we just didn't know if we were going to be able to get it.
God, you are so right. You are actually properly jogging my memory now of back in that time. And I guess because I wasn't in your position, these are things that I guess I wouldn't even think about. But you are right. These are like essential for your new baby.
Yeah. Because I mean, at the same time, they say, you know, all your baby needs is you, basically, is their mum to start with, which is true to an extent. But yeah, then practically, you do need a bunch of other stuff as well.
Yeah, you need the essentials, like, you know, nappies.
Exactly. Yeah, nappies, muslins. There was a load of stuff I just bought extras of, literally like the week before.
You know what? I do wonder now, 1 year later, what has happened to all those people that panic buy like loo rolls and nappies and cow poles? Like, have they used it all? You know what I mean?
They've probably still got a massive stockpile somewhere they're working through.
I was going to say, it's crazy. I mean, I saw someone, I don't know, literally just on social media, just stacked up to like loo rolls and kitchen towels. I'm like, seriously, are you really going to go through that?
It was crazy, wasn't it? It was so crazy. I'm glad that stopped. I think it was just that first lockdown that it happened, but
yeah,
it was just the uncertainty, wasn't it? Like I say, just not knowing how long it was going to last and how long everything was going to be shut for.
Yeah, that is, I don't know, it really, yeah, it's an extra layer of worries for new parents, I think. You just don't need that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's already nerve-wracking enough, you know, that you know you're going to be parents and you have to be responsible for, like, another human being.
Exactly. It's that, and then it's also like the big questions, like, you know, it's like when you hear, you know, you see something bad in the news and you're like, what kind of world am I bringing my child into? Those kind of the big questions. Yes. And then suddenly it's like, just to add on top of everything else that's going on, here's a global pandemic. Yeah, it's like you can sort of laugh about it a little bit now, but yeah, at the time it's just like you say, an extra layer. I guess I don't really have anything to compare it to because she's my first, but
yeah,
that's sort of how it felt for me at the time.
But I mean, okay, so obviously you had a C-section, you said, yeah. And so how long did you stay in for then? Because obviously they weren't that strict back then.
Yeah. So it was like the restrictions were like just beginning, but otherwise it was fairly normal still at that time in the hospital.
Yeah.
I actually ended up staying in 2 nights because it just so happened that on the day, it's one of those things where they don't give you a set time that you're going to go in. You just have to sort of, there's an order of priority, and the most at-risk patients obviously go first, and then any emergencies. And then so because I didn't really have any complications, it was literally just because of the fact that she was breech. I think I was basically the bottom of the list. So I almost got told to go away and come back again tomorrow by the time that I had it, because I hadn't eaten or drunk anything. Obviously they keep you nil by mouth during the day, and I basically didn't go to theater until I think it was 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh my god.
And literally I was the last one of the day, and the nurse just looked at me and I could tell she was about to say, you know, if you want to come back tomorrow, and I just looked at her and was like, look, we are doing this now.
We are having this fucking baby now, bitch. Not had anything to eat.
Exactly. I'd psyched myself up. I was hangry. And like, there was my husband in his scrubs. He was like, she needs to do this today. I can't do this again tomorrow. So we went through. So it was just because I was late in the day that the day after, they didn't quite manage to get to us to do the sort of newborn checks and everything.
Yeah.
So we ended up staying 2 nights before they let us go. But in a way, I actually didn't mind that. I mean, I think my husband was ready to go home like straight away, because obviously he had that awful pull-out chair thing that they call a bed to sleep on. But you know that feeling of like you've got all the professionals around you and they sort of know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, that as soon as you leave that door, it's just you guys responsible for this little thing. So I have to confess, I actually didn't mind staying in for a second night. And obviously after the C-section as well, just, you know, generally feeling quite quite weak and everything. So
yeah, definitely.
It wasn't the worst thing in the world to have to stay two nights.
You know what, that's fair enough. And I think having a C-section is a very different experience. And it is daunting anyway, like when they send you home so quickly. Because I think...
Yeah.
Because I remember, I think like a midwife, and bless her, she was like really knowledgeable. She's like a really, you know, quite an old, like kind of get to retirement age midwife, bless her. But she said to me, yeah, back in the day, women can stay in for like 6 days. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I heard that as well. Someone was saying like, yeah, they used to like stay a week or something. And
yeah,
and I've got memories actually of when I was little going and visiting like an aunt that had a baby. And you know, they had like, I'm sure they had like visitors like every day.
Yeah.
Like 3-4 days later, they were still there.
Yeah, no. Great. Yeah, no, because this midwife said to me, oh yeah, you know, back in the day, you know, women can stay there for like 6 days. You know, you can get the breastfeeding help because obviously it's really hard. And
yeah, exactly.
And I was thinking, yeah, no shit, it's hard. But
so that was the one thing actually that had started to change already. So after after my daughter was born, when we were in back on the ward, the nurses just, they didn't come too close, particularly like the breastfeeding support, like the specific person that was on like breastfeeding support that would go around the ward.
Yeah.
So they were wearing like extra, it wasn't like the full PPE back then.
Yeah.
But already they basically wouldn't come closer than like 6 feet from you.
Oh, really?
So I have to say it was fairly pointless in a way. So I really struggled with breastfeeding.
Oh God.
And yeah, I was asking for help, but like as soon as whenever the woman was free, you know, I was like, you know, I need help, please like send her when she's free. But I mean, when she couldn't even get close enough to really see what was going on.
Yeah, of course.
I think that was one of the things that was really tough, because she's like standing like at the foot of the bed.
Yeah.
Like further away from that, like across from the cubicle. And it's like trying to describe to me how to try and get her to latch on properly. And I'm like, if you could just come a bit closer and show me, that would be really useful.
But, oh, bloody hell.
Know what they could do, what they couldn't do. They'd just been told you can't get within like 5 feet of the mum, which was just really, yeah, just really tough.
Oh, bloody hell. I mean, I remember when I was in hospital and the breastfeeding midwife came over. Yeah, she just came over, grabbed my boob, stuffed the baby lip, proper manhandled my boobs.
Exactly. I was like, please come over and do that to me.
Please.
She just had to obviously keep a distance.
Please touch my boob.
We just got to make this happen.
God, that.
Yeah. So, I think it probably, not that it caused it, but it definitely didn't help in getting my feeding journey off to, not a great start.
It's so hard anyway, and you have no idea what you're supposed to be doing, even though people always, you know, used to say to me, oh, you know, it's all natural, you just know, the baby just gets it. And I was thinking, no, my daughter didn't just get it. Daughter number one, she was actually a pain in my ass, thanks, because she's just...
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, you know, you're told it's the most natural thing in the world, and at the same time it was the least natural thing in the world in a way, right? And the really weird thing I found about that was that, you know, I spoke to so many people because I was struggling. So obviously, you know, you speak to other new moms, like your friends, your family.
Yeah.
And literally every person I spoke to had their own kind of struggles with breastfeeding story.
Yeah.
But I just felt like no one really talked about it before I had my daughter.
No.
You know, I really felt like everyone has, you know, the stories about the birth to share.
Mm-hmm.
And like everyone just really bigs up the birth, and that's like, you know, this huge thing. And like I said, my daughter was breech, so you know, that became this huge thing about, that was a huge source of stress, worry, all this stuff. And no one ever really talks about feeding. And that was, in hindsight, so much a bigger challenge, you know? So you sort of, you give birth and then suddenly it's like, okay, well, actually, now the real worry begins. You know, like, why did I bother worrying about the birth? Like, that was kind of just by the by. Like, this is where, you know, shit gets real.
Oh dear. You know what? I have to try and think, did I ever tell you about breastfeeding? I don't think I did actually, but I've always said to you how shit parenthood, like.
You've always given it to me straight, Sue.
But I don't think I told her about breastfeeding though. But you know what? I have a theory for this.
Yeah.
I think if every woman tell this story about breastfeeding, no one would want to fucking breastfeed. They'd be put off for life.
Well, there are women out there that find it, really easy and natural, and it really is the, the perfect natural thing that just happens. But I really think for every one of them, there's like 10 others that are struggling, just from my like little sample of speaking to people that I know,
Oh God, yeah.
and it's that feeling of, people say, oh, fed is best. People don't tend to say like breast is best too much anymore these days, but at the same
Yeah.
time, I think there still is that kind of stigma.
Yeah.
So it did feel like, everybody wants, the perfect breastfed baby, but in reality, it just doesn't happen.
It does. No, it doesn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you how much I struggle with my first, and
Yeah.
you do feel guilty as a mother. You really, really do. You feel like, oh my God, if I'm not breastfeeding my child, that there must be something wrong with me. I must be doing something wrong. You kind of question yourself a lot as a woman, I think. For me, I remember.
Yeah, that mum guilt kicks in, doesn't it? Because, you're told it's this natural thing, and yeah, the classes don't really prepare you very well.
And especially with
So,
you, with the pandemic as well, it didn't sound very helpful at all if they can't stand close to you and manhandle your boob.
they were pretty like hands off in the hospital, and then usually there was like a dedicated hour in the morning that they would have, had it not been the pandemic, you would have been able to do like drop-in sessions in the hospital.
Oh,
But
really?
obviously there was none of that. There were none of the support groups were happening. And then obviously when we went home, so the option to kind of drop into the, I think my doctor's surgery in normal situation would have been running like a drop-in session for that. Obviously that wasn't running either. So basically I basically had to beg to be seen in person by the breastfeeding support team.
Oh, God.
It was like a community support team, but otherwise would have been running like sessions, or they would have come to your house, that kind of thing.
Actually,
But yeah, none of that was happening.
I was going to say,
So
so,
yeah, carry on.
no, sorry, because normally after birth, you have like the midwife come to visit. So did that happen then?
Yeah. No, so we got, really luckily, we got the day five visit.
Okay.
When they send a midwife home, but then after that, and day five was, I remember it so well. It was like the most awful day, just because I was in that stage where like my nipples were like cracked, bleeding.
Oh,
It was
God.
really gross,
Oh.
but I was in complete state, and I just didn't know what to do. And then like one of my friends had recommended using like nipple shields. But then at the same time, there's drawbacks to using that. So I was in a real sort of muddle about what to do. And thank God that this midwife actually came to our house, because I think that was probably the last day or so that they were doing home visits in person. And she just said to me, "Look, use the nipple shields. Let your nipples heal up," because it was the most excruciating pain. Like,
Yes.
I know you know what I'm talking about, so you've been there too.
Be there.
But yeah, like hungry baby on a cracked
Oh,
nipple is,
yes.
oh my God, like pain like I've never felt before.
Makes me feel
But
painful
yeah,
now.
thank God. Yeah, I know, just remembering it, I'm just
No.
like getting shivers. But yeah, just that feeling. So I'm so glad she came home and was just like, "Look, you're doing things right. You just need to heal up, and you need to do this, that." So thankfully, she sort of motivated me to keep going for a bit longer.
Yeah.
And then yeah, it was literally, we just had, basically my daughter had issues in regaining her birth weight,
Yes, I
because
remember you
obviously the
saying.
midwives like them to be back at birth weight when they
Yeah.
sort of officially discharge them.
Yeah, I remember
So
you
she
saying.
just wasn't putting on weight for the first few weeks.
How worrying.
So yeah, so they ended up we ended up visiting like the community midwives in, they'd basically, I think they'd taken over like a dental surgery or something like that, in central London somewhere, and so we ended up going to a drop-in sessions there. I called all the support lines I could.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people I cried on the phone.
Oh, I feel your pain.
You know, there's something about, you know, when you hear like a concerned voice.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they'll just say, "How are you?" And I would just collapse into floods of tears.
Oh, that happened to me. Yes.
The total meltdown. So it was just such a difficult time. And you know, in hindsight, it was like a period of 3 weeks, but at the time, it felt like
forever,
so long,
like a lifetime. Yeah.
Totally, exactly that. And so it just, because so much happened, it was, you know, good days, bad days, and most of the time you're just like a walking boob, right? Just sat there while your child is feeding on you.
But you know what, though, I think with the pandemic on top, it is like extra complicated, because normally someone can come and see you, or they were offered to come and see you, or you know, something more can be done, but because of the pandemic, all that kind of stopped, and it's so frustrating, because
particularly with something like feeding, where it would just be really useful for them to sort of help position the baby, help position you.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, show you, like, literally show you that you're doing it right. And instead, they've just got to be a bit more hands-off. You know, they're wearing masks, they're wearing the PPE. It's just putting, you know, extra layers. You're wearing a mask, so you can barely breathe at the same time whilst holding the baby. And, you know, it's maybe the first time that, in fact, it was the first time that we went out with my daughter, was to go and visit, like, the breastfeeding team.
Mm.
So, you know, you're already slightly anxious, because it's, you know, your first outing with the baby in the car seat after you've come home from hospital. So,
yeah,
as you say, it's just that extra kind of level of stress that just really wasn't helpful.
No, and that's the thing. I don't know, it might be nerve-wracking. Well, it's nerve-wracking taking, like, a new baby out in a car anyway. But I think with the pandemic, you also must be thinking, shit, am I exposing her to any of this stuff?
Yeah, that was so difficult, because they were only just kind of coming out with all the scientific analysis as well. So there was a lot of discussion about, okay, so can babies get it from their mother?
Mm-hmm.
Can they get it through breast milk? Can, like, if the mom has antibodies, can the baby get the antibodies through the breast milk? So there were all these questions that, you know, there was loads of stuff circulating. And then, you know, just, yeah, I remember hearing something about how, you know, a pregnant lady recovered from COVID and gave birth to a baby that had the antibodies or something like that.
Yes,
you know, there were all
yes, I remember that story.
Around in the media, and it was like, so no one really had proper answers yet. So, you know, you really just didn't know if you were more vulnerable or less. So I don't know if you remember, right at the start of the pandemic, there was like three or four categories of people that were classified as more at risk, and pregnant women were on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they do. And it was because they didn't know, they just didn't know how it was going to affect them, whether it actually was more serious. So out of caution, they just put pregnant women on the list. So automatically, you know, that it's just that little bit scarier in your mind as well.
Yeah, exactly, because you're thinking, shit, I mean, yeah, what's going to happen? My God.
Yeah.
So I would say, I mean, I always think the first 3 months of parenthood is like the toughest. So I'm guessing if I ask you that question, it might, like, how was your first 3 months, Mango?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say it was pretty much carnage for the first bit. But I think for us, it was really a challenge about feeding. And, you know, I mean, my daughter ended up actually having medical issues that ended us with us being in hospital over the summer.
Yeah, I remember.
So it was when she was 4 or 5 months old. So, I mean, we basically had a whole series of stuff that we went through that just meant, you know, we were from when she was about 2 months to between two months and 4 months of age.
Ugh.
You know, we were at the doctor's sort of every week, maybe. I'd taken her to A&E a couple of times, and literally, I mean, we went through everything. She had basically a lot of separate things that individually people would just say to us, oh, that happens with babies. So, for example, she had reflux.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that you've got experience of as well, right?
Yeah, so the first one, yeah.
Yeah, so Yeah, so like reflux, vomiting up feeds, which is, you know, super scary when it's happening because you're like, how much of this is normal? Mm-hmm. So we tried all, there's obviously the various bits of medication they give you for that. She was really constipated at one point, so oh. they were giving her like lactulose to help with that.
Oh, God.
But it was like everything that we tried caused another issue. So she was having Gaviscon at one point to help with the reflux, but that made her extra constipated.
Aww.
So there was just various things that they just didn't know what was going on. And all the while, she just wasn't putting on weight.
God.
So all I remember really from that those first 3 months, it was just a constant mission to get milk into this child. It was literally just every day. It was like, how can I get milk into this little person?
Oh, God.
And that's what it was all about. And we would just go around in circles because she was getting lots of wet nappies. So we knew that something was going in.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, it was like, okay, but then why isn't she putting on weight?
Yeah.
So, well, maybe she's not getting anything. So the whole time, the undercurrent for me was very much, oh, maybe I'm just crap at breastfeeding.
Oh, I feel
so
you.
So it was only when it turned out that we actually got, I think it was the third time I went to A&E, we actually got admitted to hospital and they said, well, come in and we'll observe a feed overnight.
Yeah.
And it was only then that they did a blood test and realised that there was other stuff going on with her.
God.
So, I mean, long story short, she's actually got quite a rare sort of kidney condition, but luckily it's very treatable. So she has medicine every day, but otherwise she's completely normal. But the sort of journey to kind of figuring out what it was super difficult.
And you know,
as I
what?
Say, so we ended up in hospital for a couple of weeks as well. And with COVID, that meant that I was with her by myself.
Yes, I remember that time actually when I messaged you.
Yeah.
So hard.
So obviously usually you, with a little baby, you know, you'd have two parents or you'd be swapping over. But yeah, like my husband couldn't even sort of come in and see us. So it was sort of just me like around the clock with her. So that was like really, really difficult.
But like you need your partner there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
totally.
For support.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was one of the most difficult things that I think I've ever been through. You know, it's one of those things where in your life you just stop and think, I feel so guilty for saying anything before this was hard. Like, this is actually really hard. You know, I have such respect for parents that have to see their kids in hospital. Like, it was so difficult. And that's when it was, you know, proper full-blown COVID. Like, we knew there was a kid with COVID on the same ward.
Oh, really? Oh, bloody hell.
The doctors come in, they put on fresh PPE for every patient they see.
Oh, bloody
hell. That was, you know, proper
scary.
Properly in the thick of things then.
Oh, bloody hell. That is definitely scary because you just don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't know. Parenthood, I mean, even I went into it very naive. Like, you know, just think, oh, it's all right. How bad could it be? Fucking hell, it is bad.
So many other people have done it, and I've got to be more intelligent than some of these people, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'd be like, no, it's all right. I got this. You know, it can't be that bad. But you know what? Parenthood, it's just something that you can't truly explain to someone until you're in it yourself, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that. Like everyone just basically, you know, everyone's advice beforehand is, oh, get loads of sleep before the baby comes, which is the most pointless advice ever. I would just wince whenever people would say that. Like, you can't save up sleep. Like, that's not how it works. Like, I wish I could have banked the sleep and made some use of it. But yeah, not how it works.
I don't know, actually. If someone asked me now what advice I would give to new mothers, don't have them. There you go. Save yourselves. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
You don't mean that. I think I'd say to remember that nothing is permanent, as in everything passes.
Yeah.
So like I say, you know, it's basically just been a sequence of challenges. Like I was saying about the birth before, you know, you get such anxiety over that, you know, it seems like such a huge thing. And then you get past the birth and you're like, actually, that wasn't worth worrying about at all. And mm-hmm. it's sort of on to the next thing. So then it's like feeding, that's the next challenge. Then you sort the feeding out, and then it's, you know, teething, and then you mm-hmm. get past that, and then it's crawling, and then mm-hmm. you know, it's just like a sequence of things, and each thing seems like the end of the world at some point. But
it's all different challenge.
Yeah, it's really not. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's basically a sequence of stuff to be stressed about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For the rest of your lives. I don't know. I think if I were to give someone advice now, I'd say just don't have any, like, expectation of what it should be like.
Yeah.
Because we all go through parenthood so differently. I mean, even me and you, you know, we have went through this journey, same but different, you know, because our children... You know, our girls are different and they had different needs. And, you know, and obviously with your little girl, she definitely went through a lot more, like with her reflux, than what I had to go through with my first one. So,
I think that's right. And I think you learn a lot about yourself as well, and how you deal with that kind of, those kind of setbacks, and probably about your, like, relationship as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, and you're sitting there on sort of, day five, crack nipples, you know, putting that, like, Lanisov stuff all over them. And, like, you know, I don't think I, like, wore a top for the first 10 days of my daughter's life, like, walking around the house. And I think my poor husband was just like, what on earth has happened here?
Like, what did I marry here? What's going on? This is not the girl I married.
That is exactly it. Like, what on earth is this? But bless him. I mean, he just went with it, right? Because, I mean, he, like, this, in a sense, there was, like, nothing he could do.
Yeah.
So just had to sort of be there for us.
Yeah. So would you say, actually, with obviously being new parents and with pandemic as well, do you think it actually added like an extra strain in your relationship? Because obviously it's difficult anyway, but then it is an added layer on top. Like when you're in hospital and he can't be with you, that just, I don't know. I think it sucks for women, because it's always us, I think, that have to deal with it.
I think at the start, because essentially, you know, not to be harsh, but all baby needs is you, you know, in a sense, they don't need daddy at that point. They just need, well, actually, they don't even need all of us. They just need our boobs, basically. I think there is an element of that, that in a sense, it has to be the mum at the start. And I mean, it was tough for him as well, obviously, because, you know, all the doctor's appointments, the hospitals, he wasn't allowed in. Mm-hmm. It had to be just me, mm-hmm. just sort of taking her in by myself. And it wasn't like I had experience, you know, taking, like, this newborn baby out and about. But you at the end of the day, you just kind of have to get on with it, don't you? Especially when it's something like medical problems. You know, you have to advocate for your baby, because they can't say anything for themselves. So... And I think all he could do was just sort of be supportive and, you know, tell me that I'm doing the right thing and all of that. And, you know, remind me not to put so much pressure on myself as well. I think that's the other thing, you know, the mum guilt and all of that.
Yeah.
So I think he helped sort of give some perspective, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you're right, actually, even thinking back with, you know, and you are so right, when they are that small, they do need just the mum because of the breast milk and stuff like that. And dad, they get sidelined quite often. And I guess, you know, dads and mums, we have different struggles in this kind of situation.
And
all they can do is just be supportive and just, don't know, and hope that they still love us at the end.
That's totally it, because I have to say, I was not a fun person to live with during that time, during the early days.
Nope.
So bless him, we just took it. And God, I remember the days, like, when she was properly newborn and she just would not sleep anywhere except for on us.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, my husband, bless him, would volunteer to take sort of the early shift.
Yeah.
So the start of the night, he would just hold her from, like, I don't know, like, the first couple of hours of the night, and then, like, midnight or 1 a.m. like, I would take over when he would go to sleep.
Tag team.
But then after that, it was definitely the stereotypical thing where she would make the tiniest noise and I would be on high alert and he would just be completely knockout for the whole night. And then you're just sat there in the early hours, you know, that like the night is just stretching out in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to get her to latch on for like the 20th time. And it's just, some of those moments are really, really difficult. But meanwhile, your husband is sort of sleeping sweetly next to you.
Yes.
I think you've mentioned that before to me as well. It was similar for you.
Oh, yeah. No, I threw a nappy at my husband when he was doing that.
Clean or dirty?
No, it was dirty. I was like, damn you bastard!
Yeah, so we probably weren't the easiest people to live with initially, but bless them, they've stuck by us.
I know, I was horrible. You know what, even sometime, I remember back then, I said to him, I said, why are you married to me? He said, I'm not the person you married. He was like, no, it's okay, you know, just a face. And I was thinking, I don't know, just a face. I was like, I don't think this baby is going away.
I think obviously because as well, under normal circumstances, you know, we'd have had a lot of family around, a lot more people around,
yeah.
My sisters, my parents.
Yeah, you would have more
help. Which would kind of help share the load a bit.
Yes.
But obviously, we couldn't do that this time around, which sort of goes without saying. But yeah, so there's that bit, you know, the whole, like, it takes a village, so they say. And we didn't really have a village. still don't yet.
It just...
But,
yeah, that's
so it's the family side, and then I guess the other side is the stuff like you know, like the mummy and baby classes, and you know, having the other kind of mum network support that you find from that, like the mummy and daughter classes or whatever it is, or like swim classes and things that we haven't managed to take her to.
That's the thing, I think, with this pandemic, they're just, I mean, I remember with both my babies, you know, I took them to like baby classes. And even though I'm not there to like make friends or whatever, but it was just nice to talk to another human being, for start with, and just share the experience. You know, if you can find a mum that are really nice and, you know, and have similar kind of outlook to you, it's great. It is really good support. And because you didn't have that,
I was quite lucky in that I did NCT classes, and I actually have like a really nice bunch of other mums through that. So there's six of us in total that had babies over the span of, say, a month or something around that time.
Oh, wow.
So that was actually a really nice kind of WhatsApp network. But I mean, as I say, we were talking about stuff that we didn't expect to be talking about, like, you know, oh, was your husband allowed into the operating theater or not,
you know,
that kind of stuff. So I was lucky to have a bit of that, but it would have been nice to be out and see other mums, and then also for my daughter to see other kids as well. I guess that's the other bit, you know, her seeing little ones and you know, learning stuff from that.
Yeah, so I'm guessing your vision of your maternity leave is kind of very different to...
Completely different. I mean, I think at the same time, I mean, yeah, I've probably been a bit negative so far, but I should say that there have definitely been some positives to come out of it as well.
Yeah.
So I think obviously the main one is like my husband has been working from home all year. And otherwise, I mean, he would have barely had 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
So instead, you know, we've had a lot, maybe too much, of that kind of bonding time, you know, just the three of us. You know, we spent loads of time together. We basically have been disturbing him all day, you know, in between stuff. You know, if I want to go to the loo and stuff, okay, sometimes if he's busy, like, I'll take her with me because that's what you do. But, you know, occasionally I'll just, you know, knock on the door. He'll, like, take her for a few minutes, you know, that kind of thing. So we've basically just been disturbing him all day, every day from his actual day job. But that has been so nice. I think he's had, you know, so much extra time with her that he just wouldn't have had. And he's quite sort of hands-on as well anyway. So I think that's probably been the best thing.
Yeah.
And then, I feel like as well, there's sometimes it's easy to feel as a new mum, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you and a lot of expectations on you, even mm-hmm. if there aren't, just even in your head,
mm-hmm.
you
I
just
agree.
Feel like there are. So, yeah, so obviously there's been like zero pressure for me to go and do anything or meet anyone when it was proper lockdown, yeah. if you know what I mean. You know, there was no pressure for me to have loads of visitors around, or even in those early days, like I said, I basically didn't wear a top for the first 10 days, and that was totally fine because there was nobody there. So in a way, it's also been less of that sort of pressure as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I can, totally understand that. Because when you have a new baby, everyone wants to come and see, you know, your new baby. And sometimes you just want to sleep. You're like, I just want to sleep. Is that okay?
It's like, you can come and see my baby, but could you just maybe keep her for an hour whilst I nap, or that kind of thing? Or could you bring dinner for us? Or
yeah, exactly. But yeah, I guess, yeah, so you didn't have that, which I can understand. It's a positive thing as well, because it can be a bit overwhelming, I think, for new parents.
Yeah. So this pandemic, so to be more balanced, I think, the pandemic has had a few pros, as well as the, you know, missing out on some of the stuff like the baby classes or whatever it is.
Yeah. But hopefully these days will come. But actually, obviously now you have headed back to work as well. So
exactly. So yeah, my vision of being able to, you know, take her out with me and going for long lunches and coffees and all of that stuff has not happened, and now suddenly I'm back to work again. So yeah, that sort of mat leave vision didn't quite happen.
Oh god, that is, I mean, I don't know, I totally understand, like, yeah, because when you're on mat leave, yeah, you are obviously hoping that you'll see some of your friends, meet up for coffee, and just not have to, I don't know, I guess feel like, you know, you have some support network, and yeah, you're just a nice thing to do, you know, for yourself, not even just for your baby, just to feel a bit more like...
Exactly, yeah.
Like a human.
Yeah, for your own mental health, and, you know, to enjoy the weekdays and be out while everyone else is at work and all of that stuff, and show the baby off a bit, you know, have them meet all of your friends and family as well.
Exactly.
She still better hasn't met any of my extended family, so.
Well, I only met her once.
Yeah, exactly. So there was that brief period, wasn't there, in the summer where it kind of felt vaguely normal.
Yes, it did.
Before everything started getting worse again.
All kicking off, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So actually, it'd be... So now you're back at work and with childcare. So have you been looking for childcare for her, or you think as you're working from home, you're just kind of like trying to do it yourself? Because I can imagine childcare is harder to get now, the places.
It is. It is definitely harder. I think, there's a lot of things have changed around it as well. So, so my husband and I will both be working from home rather than the office. So there isn't talk of going back to the office for a few months yet. Mm. And even then, it will probably be sort of quite flexible. So maybe a couple of days in, a few days out. Yeah. So that's one thing. So we've got a lot of extra flexibility at the moment. Mm-hmm. But we've looked into nurseries first. And even that process has got a few changes at the moment. So basically, most of them aren't or haven't actually been doing open days. Yeah. It'll probably be changing, obviously, now as the restrictions are lifting. But certainly sort of last month, you know, you're doing like virtual open days, virtual tours of nurseries,
which is not quite
like
the same.
Literally one of the workers is showing you around on like a WhatsApp call.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's, if that, you know, that's the best they can do, and it's okay, but at the same time,
it's
really hard to get a feel for a place, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's not quite the same. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's like a 20-minute thing and you're just like, oh, okay. So, yeah, so that's a tricky thing. Like a lot of them, you can't do like the settling in sessions that you would have done. So you literally have to like leave your baby at the door and like leave.
Oh, God.
sounds pretty traumatic. I can't. Don't know. Traumatic for me, let alone my daughter.
I don't know. I even find it hard now in my second one going to nursery. Even I find it traumatic leaving her.
Exactly. So that's one side, that's the nursery bit. So we will be sending her to nursery, but the sessions that we want aren't actually available for a few months' time. God. So We've now been looking for whether we can get someone to come to us at home,
mm-hmm.
A bit like a nanny share or something. But the tricky thing there is no one really wants to be doing, or not many people want to be doing a nanny share at the moment, because then obviously you're mixing between different families and that kind of thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're still looking down that avenue at the moment. I'm quite lucky at the moment. My mum is supporting us and looking after my daughter at the moment. So,
hooray
yes,
for mums.
Thank God for mums, hey?
I know, hooray for mums. I miss my mum.
Save the day. So, yeah, so grandma has stepped up temporarily. And so, yeah, it's going to be a mix of that, and hopefully we can find someone to help us out, because we don't need anybody full time. It's literally just a bit of help would be helpful in the mornings, when you know, when we're both trying to do the bit of work, and that's all we really need at the moment. She's at that age where she's has a nice long afternoon nap.
Oh yeah,
long may that continue.
Oh yes, I remember those.
Yeah, a bit of morning help would be great. So. We're still on the hunt. Yeah, I would say that definitely the pandemic has made things like nursery viewings and that kind of thing an extra challenge.
That's the thing, actually, Nora. That's funny you said that, because, I mean, my second daughter, she started nursery back in September. But, yeah, we viewed that nursery, like, I don't know, about a year ago.
Okay.
Because we
that
knew.
That was very clever
of you. Well, no, because we just knew we wanted to send her to that nursery because it was close to our first daughter's, like, primary school.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And we just thought, right, let's just go and view it. If we love it, then that's great. We'll put her name down. If we hate it, we can keep looking. So, yeah, we've done that. Like, and you're so right. I actually forgot that whole nursery viewing and stuff, like, because you can't do that.
Yeah, it's a good job you did. See, you must have seen it coming.
I don't know about that. It's just, we're just trying to be a bit, organised, because just because we know that nursery is actually quite a small nursery anyway. It's not a very big nursery. So you have to, like, kind of get in there. And loads of mums have said to us, you know, like, get in there. They are, like, the most popular one in this, like, little village. And I said, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. You've got to be early these days.
I know, but with the pandemic...
Like I say, that's the next thing to worry about, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the thing. But with the pandemic, they are taking less children as well, aren't they, most of them?
I'm not sure the nurseries I've looked at, they haven't mentioned. I guess I don't know how many they took before, but they haven't really said that they're taking fewer.
Ah, okay.
It was more that they were saying they weren't letting the parents inside anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas before they would have had the odd kind of drop-in thing or,
mm-hmm.
you know, little shows or whatever it is they do. But yeah, they're not doing any of that these days.
It is tricky to get a vibe from a nursery without kind of going in there and see how the children are in there, you know, and things like that, and how how the teachers, like, interact with the children as well. Because that is hard.
I think that's right. Yeah, and it's going to be pretty important for us, because I am going back full time. I thought about going part time, but quite a few other women in my company that have had kids and gone back to work sort of advised me to try and go full time if I could, because they basically said with our work you end up just taking a pay cut and having to still do the same job in just fewer hours.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm going to try and go back. I'm back full time at the moment, so we're going to try and see how that goes.
You know what? Yeah, definitely. I think see how it goes. And I think with the pandemic, you know, things will be a bit different, I think, in workplace anyway. So.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that's the other thing, isn't it? Because everyone else has basically gone on mat leave at the same time as me, in a way. So they all basically, it's so strange, they all left the office at pretty much the same time that I went on mat leave, like a week later than me. They all went and started working from home.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, a year later, they all still are. So I sort of feel a bit like I'm the last person in the business to learn how to work from home properly, and, you know, use Zoom for meetings and things. So they've all been doing this for like a year now. So it's really strange that none of them have really seen each other in the same way that I haven't seen them. So
And you know what? And because of the pandemic, obviously you wouldn't have taken your daughter to meet your work colleagues like you normally, you know, would do that, wouldn't you? Like, yeah,
I would have dropped in for a few coffees and things, but yeah, so they've seen her on screen on a virtual call, but no, apart from that. So I think they've all been dealing with the joys of like homeschooling, the ones that have got kids and all of that fun stuff. So I haven't had to deal with that yet, like you guys have.
Hated it. Yeah. Hated homeschooling. It was horrendous for us, but the school wasn't very supportive either, so it didn't help. That's a whole different conversation. I'll tell you another time. But anyway, so actually, to round it up, I think our conversation, what advice, I guess, would you give to like soon to be mum? Or like, you know, soon to be dad, like, because obviously now it's still be like a pandemic baby. So what kind of advice do you think you would give them?
I think a bit of what I said before, that, you know, nothing lasts forever, basically, in this fun game of parenthood. You know, I think someone said to me once that, like, you know, the days go slowly, but the weeks fly by. Mm-hmm. And that has really been so true for us. So, like, you know, the hours that I was talking about where you're breastfeeding in the middle of the night, you know, the night stretching out in front of you, it feels like so long. And you're just like, how on earth am I going to get through to the morning?
Yep.
But then suddenly you blink and you've made it to 3 weeks and, you know, your baby started feeding better. And then you blink again and you've made it to 3 months and, you know, suddenly you're past the carnage and your baby starts laughing at you or smiling at you, you know, and you've got out of that initial sort of struggle. So, you know, and suddenly I've blinked and, you know, I'm a year in.
Yeah.
And, you know, my little one's trying to walk and still screaming ahead of me. But, yeah, you know, they've got like a proper personality. So I would say, you know, just really keep that in mind as you sort of navigate this whole sort of set of challenges that parenthood is.
Yeah, even in the pandemic, I think, yeah, you're right. I think take each day as it comes as well, because I think with the pandemic on top, it's still quite changeable, isn't it? So
Exactly. And it's so easy, isn't it, to just get, you know, you start talking to someone about the pandemic and before you know it, you've been complaining for like an hour about stuff. So it's so easy to just get yourself down about it, I think, isn't it? So
yeah, I think
you've just got to sort of roll with it and, you know, just focus on controlling the things you can control. So
that is actually very good advice. It is true. You just have to, control the things that you can control and just try and stay as positive as possible. And like you rightly said, every stage is in parenthood, you know, it will pass and it will go quick. And I guess it's the pandemic as well, you know, it will go eventually. It's not going to be here forever, you know. So that is some good advice.
We'll
then, Mango,
the other side, and we're nearly at the time where, you know, we can see other family members and hug them and leave our children with them, so
yay,
be able to go for brunch again soon.
Hooray, let's go for brunch, Mango. Woo.
That makes me sound like an awful mother, doesn't it? But yeah, at the same time,
not at all,
babysitting is back on the menu.
You know what though, I think one thing that with the whole parenting, obviously I know my two daughters are different age to yours, but I think every single parent in this pandemic have different challenges, no matter what age, you know, your children are in. And I think it has been a very intense kind of in terms of parenting. And I think, you know, we could all do with a little break.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've all had lots of extra quality time with our kids. So it works both ways, doesn't it? It's a blessing and a curse.
Exactly. But anyway, Mango, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today. And yeah, and I don't know, good luck with going back to work.
Oh, thank you. It's been lovely talking to you. And I have to say thank you for doing this podcast and, you know, always telling it like it is. I know I can. It's the one thing I know I can always count on you for, especially with all the parenting stuff. You and your husband to really tell us the truth about what to expect.
I'll try my best to scare people off. I hope you all enjoyed listening to this podcast. I hope you will all tune in again. And don't forget, if you like what you're hearing, then please subscribe or follow me on social media so you can share it with anyone that you think may find it helpful. You will find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @absoluteparenting.